Please be seated. We don't normally do this here, but if we advertised a title for a sermon out front, you know, like some churches do, I guess the title of this one would be, I'm Done Growing the Church. I just wanted to say that up front because at the 8 o'clock service, when I said those words, a breaker or something, John, I don't know what it was, went off and it sounded like an explosion. And I wanted to make sure that's what it was and not something else. Let me explain where I'm going with this. And you should have seen the 8 o'clock service, and you know you should not startle the 8 o'clockers. I read an article recently in on the blog site of the Christian Century magazine. And unfortunately, I didn't properly save the article, so I can't adequately credit the author. So if you're here this morning and you wrote this blog, I apologize. But the title of the article was what caught my attention, and the title of the article was, I'm Done Growing the Church. Now, for you English majors, done was in quotations. It was written by some clergy type, and this is part of what it had to say. Yes, you read it right. I'm done. No more outreach strategies to fill the pews, no more ideas to draw in young people, no more switching out the hard stuff for lighter fare in hopes that we'll appeal to a bigger audience, no more growing the church. Seems that every time I sit down to think of ways to lead people to Jesus, the author writes, I find a new gimmick to align a program or bring focus to an issue. Some new ways to get those visitors to close the deal and get them to join up. Too many people think the mission of the church is to swell the ranks and fill the pews. Too many people think that job is my task. Too many people find me a failure for not getting this done. So no more. No more. I'm done growing the church. Now, to read that in a magazine that's designed for clergy leaders will catch your attention. But before you think that this is just the rantings of some tired, burned-out old priest, or for that matter, a story shared with you by some tired, burnt-out priest, let me assure you that that's not the case. But I'll get back to that in a minute. In our lectionary during the season of Pentecost, we have two tracks that we can follow and that gives you an option on Old Testament lessons. I should have looked at the bulletin insert before preparing this sermon because I prepared it on the other Old Testament lesson, which is the story of Solomon and dedicating his temple. It's a great story. I'll read it to you someday. But between that story and the New Testament reading, the gospel reading, there is a shared theme. It's a very important theme as well. It's about including strangers, aliens, outsiders, into the community of faith. Solomon, when he was dedicating his temple, he dedicates it in a prayer and he wants it to be a house of prayer for all people, not just the people of Israel. And that's a pretty big deal. It's a pretty big deal at a time when race and gender and ethnic backgrounds were all important. And in Luke's gospel, the stranger is a centurion. Not only the centurion, though, but also the centurion's slave. Both foreigners, but people who could not be more different in status. The centurion is a powerful Roman, a rich leader. The slave is a nobody, a commodity to be bought and sold, used or abused, and disposed of at will. And the amazing thing is that the centurion seems to actually care about the slave. And the Jews couldn't help but notice that. And all of this happened in a world and among a people for whom none of this was even slightly normal behavior. So in their very essence, both of these are stories of grace. I know there's a lot in Scripture, especially in Hebrew Scripture, about being distinct and separate from the world around us. But there is so much more. There is so much more about how all people, all nations, all genders, all races, and all stations of people should be welcomed. Welcomed into God's temple, into God's house, into God's community, into God's church. And it really doesn't matter how many programs or marks we might have, because ultimately the church does not belong to us. It belongs to God. Which brings me back to the article that I mentioned earlier. The author says, "I've done growing the church." He writes, "If you are looking for growth strategies that capitalize on market demographics and creative sales pitches, I'm probably busy the day that you want to talk with me. If you're trying to find ways to impress all the kids and add some flash to worship and pray that they'll give enough to pay for the brand new $2.3 million 2,500-seat worship center, I've got another appointment to keep that day." That is, unless you mean something different when you say grow the church. If you mean growing in grace, a place that's learning to become more mature about forgiveness, a place that's willing to reach across boundaries of age and race and gender and even politics to develop real relationships, I'd love to grow that church. If you're talking about growing in love, a church that's learning to become more selfless, giving our time and money to help people who are in a bad way, even if we think they don't deserve it, I could see myself growing a cool church like that. And if you mean growing in depth, where people are learning to accept their flaws without trying to gloss them over, where there is an outbreak of patience and kindness that comes only from realizing that we are all screwed up in one way or another, and that God loves us anyway. A place where everyone realizes that they are absolutely unqualified to do any type of ministry, just like the minister, and would commit to doing it anyway. A place where people realize the value of what we have in Christ is too valuable not to give away. I'd give my right arm to grow that church, the author writes. Because, folks, that's what God's community was. It still can be. And it happened without a single plan or program or strategy. It happened when a stranger visited Solomon's temple and then told someone he was welcomed and included and really could hear the voice of God there. It happened when a Roman centurion told his family about a wandering rabbi named Jesus who not only had the power to heal, but also had this amazing power to see through and beyond the labels that we like to put on each other. It happened because a slave told another slave that he owed a great debt not only to his master, but to the one who saw him as more than a commodity, a nobody. It happened because of a blind man, a leper, a bride and a groom, a woman of the street, a tax collector, a zealot, and countless others in places like Corinth and Ephesus and Philippi and Galatia who did nothing more than tell a story to someone they cared about, to tell them what they had seen and what they had heard, because it mattered so much. It mattered so much that they had to tell someone else. Talk about a strategic plan. My friends, that is our call as mere sharecroppers in God's church, to tell someone, to invite someone, to include someone, because the truth is we are all a community of aliens and strangers whose names have been changed from nobody to somebody by the love of God. And we are called by God to open our hearts and our lives so that when another stranger walks through these doors, someone not of our own people, that they will not only be welcomed, but they will be transformed. And the church will grow. The church will grow beyond our wildest imaginations, but not because of what we have done, but because of what God has done. God love you. Amen.